D&D Ravenloft, the Horrors Within Complete Guide and Best Bundles. Imani here. I brought the receipts, the table test, and one strong opinion. Have you seen the hype? Ravenloft is having its moment, and the Horrors Within is the season's crown jewel. Whether you're running Curse of Strahd for the first time, refreshing a campaign with new Dark Lords, or building your horror toolkit, this season's releases have exactly what you need. The community is already fired up about the new subclasses, the Cosmic Horror Threads, and yes, that updated Taraka deck. Let me walk you through what's actually available right now, what pairs with what, and where your money goes furthest. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What exactly is the Horrors Within, and is it a campaign or a toolbox? Let's clear this up first, because it changes how you spend your money. The Horrors Within is a 288-page sourcebook, not a single adventure. It's a campaign-building toolbox spanning 16 domains of dread, each ruled by a Dark Lord with full lore and a fresh stat block. Strahd in Barovia, Azalin Rex in Darkin, Lord Soth in Sithicus, Victra Mordenheim in Lamordia, Hazlik in Hazlin, Chakuna in Kalakuri, and yes, Cthulhu presiding over the brand new cosmic horror domain of Innsmouth. That last one is the headline Lovecraftian Eldritch Horror is now officially baked into D&D's Gothic Playground. Here's the part the hype videos skim past. Of the seven subclasses, only two are genuinely new, the Reanimator Artificer, who stitches flesh golems out of the battlefield's dead, and the Hollow Warden Ranger, who borrows power from the things lurking in Forgotten Dark. The other five, College of Spirits Bard, Grave Domain Cleric, Phantom Rogue, Shadow Sorcery Sorcerer, and Undead Patron Warlock, are returning options pulled forward into the 2024 rules. Knowing that saves you from double buying. You also get four playable species, Dampier, Hexblood, Reborn, and the Lupin, and four horror-flavored backgrounds, Haunted One, Investigator, Mist Wanderer, and Spirit Medium. Worth knowing before you get excited about new options, all four species are returning rather than freshly invented. Dampier, Hexblood, and Reborn are pulled forward from 2021's Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft. While the Wolfish Lupin makes its first official 5th edition appearance, its first playable outing and updated rules since D&D 3.5e. New to this edition, yes, new to D&D. No, add 41 monstrosities plus 10 domain denizens and 17 Darklord stat blocks, and you're holding a whole haunted multiverse before you open a single adventure module. Which bundle is actually worth it, and where's the hidden math? Real talk, Wizards gave you four ways in, and only one of them does the arithmetic in your favor. Want it on a tablet instead? Physical product hit shelves June 16, 2026, but local game stores in the Wizards Play Network got early access ahead of that wide release, if you want a copy in hand sooner. It's worth a call to your FLGS. Why is the Taraka deck the one accessory you can't fake? If you remember one thing from this guide, make it this. In a Curse of Strahd campaign, the Taraka deck isn't flavor, it's the engine that decides where the whole campaign goes. It's a 54-card occult deck, and the famous reading at Madame Eva's tent is a 5-card spread laid clockface, 3 common cards at the 9, 12, and 3 positions, 2 high cards at 6 and dead center. Here's what each card actually does, which most first-time DMs don't realize until their mid-session. The 3 common cards set the hiding spots of the campaign's win conditions, the Tome of Strahd, the Holy Symbol of Ravenkind, and the Sun Sword. The high card at 6 o'clock names your party's great ally. The center card decides where the final showdown with Strahd happens. One spread, and you've architected your entire campaign. The pro move nobody tells beginners, you don't have to draw blind. Seasoned DMs quietly pre-curate the deck before the session, pulling the genuinely brutal item placements, or fully stacking it so the Sun Sword lands somewhere your party can survive reaching at low level. The cardinal sin is letting players watch a pre-game draw. The reading only carries weight when it comes from Eva's mouth at the table. Track your result on an index card so it stays consistent across rereadings. Esmeralda Davenir can reread it later if the party meets her first. The 2026 edition refreshes the artwork while keeping all 54 cards intact. How do the new miniatures fit, and did the species lists get mixed up? Let me correct the spec sheets floating around, because retailers keep garbling the rosters. Spells and Steel holds the Goliath Barbarian, Tiefling Bard, Human Druid, Dwarf Cleric, Halfling Rogue, and Elf Sorcerer, 525 medium bases plus 120 small. Swords and Staves holds the Dwarf Fighter, Orc Paladin, Elf Ranger, Dragonborn Monk, Gnome Warlock, and Awesomer Wizard, 6 figures, not a second sorcerer. That's the cheapest official on-ramp to pre-painted PCs there is. For the horror side of the table, watch WizKids retail calendar. The Eldritch Enemies of Ravenloft and Maddening Monsters of Ravenloft creature packs, plus a standalone Cthulhu boxed mini, are slated for October 2026. That big bad sculpt is what finishes the Innsmouth aesthetic. My honest take, minis are the last thing a horror campaign needs. Theater of the Mind sells dread better than a painted goblin, so buy them when combat clarity actually starts costing you, not on day one. Do you need the DM screen, the maps, or both for online play? This is where solo readers most often overspend, so let me be blunt about it. None of the domain mechanics or fear and stress tables live on it, those are in the book. If the ultimate bundle already put one in your hands, don't buy a second. If you run entirely on a virtual tabletop, a physical screen is mostly decorative, skip it without guilt. Maps are the genuinely useful extra, and they're also where I have to be honest with you, the exact count is reported inconsistently. The official D&D Beyond Ultimate Bundle Marketplace listing puts the map pack at 47 maps, including 28 digital quickplay maps for the maps VTT, while a D&D Beyond blog rundown quotes a lower figure, around 20 maps with roughly 10 digital. Treat the digital map pack as the thing you're really paying for if you play online. Those quickplay maps drop straight into Foundry, Roll20, or D&D Beyond maps with no prep, and treat any single number as verify the current listing before you buy rather than gospel, since the published counts don't fully agree. Bottom line for the online DM, the physical plus digital bundle plus the digital map pack covers you. For the in-person DM, the printed maps and a screen earn their place. Match the gear to your table, not the marketing photo. Should you own the Horrors Within and Curse of Strahd? Short answer, no, but they're a phenomenal pair if you can swing both. They do completely different jobs. Curse of Strahd 2016 is a tightly plotted 224-page adventure module, levels 1 to 10, one valley, one vampire, a beginning and an end. The Horrors Within 2026 is a sourcebook, 16 domains, 17 Dark Lords, character options, monsters, and the tools to build your own horror campaign around whichever villain grips you. So here's how I'd actually deploy them. If you already own Curse of Strahd and love it, The Horrors Within is the best supplement you can bolt on. Strahd gets a reworked 2024-era stat block, the lore of Barovia gets deeper, and you can graft in fresh subclasses and the returning species to refresh a campaign your group has half-memorized. If you're starting completely fresh, The Horrors Within alone gives you more raw flexibility. Pick Azalin Rex for a Lich-Archmage chess match, Victra Mordenheim for body horror, or Coethulus Innsmouth for a full Eldritch descent, but you'll be doing more campaign architecture yourself, since a sourcebook hands you Lego, not a built model. The first-timer move I quietly recommend: run the pre-written Shadows of Sithicus bonus adventure from the Ultimate Bundle to learn the domain rhythm, then graduate to building your own. You get module-style guardrails first and sandbox freedom second, the gentlest possible on-ramp into running horror. What's the full season of horror timeline and what's worth waiting for? Knowing the release cadence keeps you from buying twice or missing a sellout. June 16, 2026 is the main event. Every physical SKU of The Horrors Within and all four buy-in tiers go live. Ahead of that wide release, D&D Beyond subscribers got a tiered digital ramp and local game stores in the Wizards Play Network got early physical access, so the content has been trickling out through the season already. July 2026 brings the two icons of the realm's PHB starter sets, so your minis arrive perfectly timed to the new character options. October 2026 is the collector's window. The Eldritch enemies and maddening monsters creature packs plus the standalone Cthulhu mini hit retail, that's the wave to circle if you're building a display-grade Ravenloft table. Then there's the splurge. My honest counsel, and Dax will back me up below, is that it's gorgeous but maximalist. The core book runs your campaign just as well. If you do want it, pre-order early because Beetle and Grimm's premium boxes routinely sell out and don't reprint. Plan your spend around your table's actual needs, not FOMO, and you'll be running horror on a budget that still leaves room for snacks. Final verdict. Ravenloft, The Horrors Within is the season's must-have for anyone running horror. Layer in the icons starter sets when you're ready to put minis on the table, grab the Taraka deck if you're running Curse of Strahd, and you've got a complete professional horror experience. The community is already cooking up wild campaigns with the new subclasses and Dark Lords, so this is the moment to jump in. Whether you go all in with the bundle or build piece by piece, you can't go wrong. Frequently asked questions. Do I need both Curse of Strahd and The Horrors Within? Number Curse of Strahd 2016 is a specific campaign for Barovia. The Horrors Within 2026 is a sourcebook covering 16 domains with tools to run any Dark Lord. If you own Curse of Strahd and want new stat blocks and depth, grab The Horrors Within as a supplement. If you're starting fresh, The Horrors Within alone gives you more options and flexibility. Is the Taraka deck essential, or can I just use the deck in the book? If you're running Curse of Strahd specifically, the physical deck is asterisk essential asterisk. The adventure uses it as a plot driver for the campaign's direction. If you're running other Ravenloft adventures or using Taraka for divination flavor, the printed version in the book works, but the physical deck enhances the table experience dramatically. Should I buy the ultimate bundle or piece it together? You get the book, deck, screen, maps for VTT, and pre-order bonuses that include a playable mini-adventure. When are the miniatures sets available? The D&D Icons of the Realms Player's Handbook starter sets, Spells and Steel and Swords and Staves, release in July 2026, about a month after The Horrors Within. Additional Ravenloft monster packs and the Cthulhu mini hit retail in October 2026. Can I use these products with D&D Beyond, or do I need physical copies? Both. The Ultimate Bundle includes digital access to maps and bonuses. Choose based on how you prep. Digital is great for searching rules mid-session. Physical is perfect for reading lore and atmosphere. What's the deal with Cthulhu and Ravenloft now? Ravenloft, The Horrors Within introduces Innsmouth as a new cosmic horror domain and includes Cthulhu as one of the 17 Dark Lords, representing the expansion into Lovecraftian horror. This opens up cosmic eldritch campaigns beyond traditional gothic settings. WizKids is releasing a Cthulhu boxed miniature in October 2026 for collectors.